think I'll start with a song from the new record. How about that? Why not, right? Yeah. Dave, this song is called The Train of Change. I saw the train of change come one night. I saw the train of change come one night. Oh, it was hauling truth, hauling light, rolling down a track of more welcome sight. I saw the train of change come that night. And I saw hope, it was riding on that train. I saw hope riding on that train. I saw corrupt start to fall, decent start to rise, life coming back to some long dead eyes. I saw hope, and it was riding on that train. And I saw love, it was riding on that train. And I saw love riding on that train. I saw people of different colors, different neighborhoods. They ran together towards a common good. It was love, boy, riding on that train, on that train. I saw peace, it was riding on the train. I saw peace, it was riding on the train. People standing up saying, no more war, enemies, friends, like never before. It was peace, and it was riding on that train. I saw the train of change come one night. I saw the train of change that came that night. And it was hauling truth, hauling light, rolling down the track of most welcome sight. Was the train of change that come that night. On that night, I saw it. I saw it come that night.
The Raven and the Blues, it's Talk Radio Europe, it's Skybird Radio, and it's a podcast across the world. And if you're watching the video, Doug's got the microphone in his eye. Welcome. Do you want to move the mic stand, Doug, as your main vocal mic's a bit high.
Is that so much better?
Yeah, on the video, every time you sang, all you could see was your eyes being blocked by the microphone. Anyway, welcome to the programme. It's good to have you back after all these years. Last time we saw you here, you were doing a house concert down below. You started by answering my first question in a way, because I was going to say, Doug, you've been kind of quiet recently in terms of material, and all of a sudden you then say, I'm a track from my new album. So that's where we'll start, I think. You obviously have a new album coming out, and mm-hmm. with a new label as well.
A new label. The label's called Fresh, Dave, and it's a subsidiary of Reference out of San Francisco. They're an audiophile label. They started off as that. Been around for like 35 years. And they decided to put out a new subsidiary, I guess is how you say it. It's not really directed to the audiophile market mm-hmm. per se. It's more, it's going to be available all over the world, and I'm kind of glad and excited to be with them, to tell you the truth.
And are you with them now, or you sign when you get back? Or
No, I'm signed. I'm signed. In fact, we signed it before I came over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I saw the contract, and I couldn't believe it. I told my lawyer, I said, look at this real careful. This looks too good to be true. You know, there's got to be something in there. And he said, no, there wasn't. So I'm really glad to be with these
And
folks.
So how quickly before you go into a studio and record?
It's done.
It's done.
I've already done it. You see, I'd chopped it around
mm-hmm.
with different companies, and we were close on a couple of blues-type labels. But things just didn't seem to work out, you know. It wasn't, the timing wasn't right, or things just didn't work out. And so these folks came along, and that's how it happened.
And have they had any input in the way it sounds, or any changes to it, or anything else? Or is it as
you No, what it, they'll no? do is master it.
Yeah.
I gave them the finished tracks, and mm-hmm. what they're doing right now is mastering it and taking care of the art and all that. It'll be out in March, March of 2011.
Again, worldwide.
Yes, you can get it all over the world. Mm.
And how many self-penned tracks on it? Are they all written by you? Or?
All written by me, and one written by me and Danny Jesser. Danny and I did the master's plan from the Come to Find record. And I'll tell you, it's a funny story. I thought he was dead. I thought he died. So I was on this tour. A year ago, I think it was. And I was going to do this song called Midnight in Memphis. Maybe I'll do that song. And I was going to do this song, Midnight in Memphis. And Danny and I had wrote that song, but it was originally Midnight in Berlin. Mm. But since I'd never been to Berlin, I've been to Berlin maybe three or four times. I didn't feel right singing that. So I said, well, the thing I got to do is make sure this song is copyrighted and taken care of so Danny's children, if anything should happen, let's say somebody big does it, then they get the money too, you know, because we had a 50-50 split.
Mm.
So I call up Bug Music and I tell them, you know, this, I'm going to go over and I want to make sure this song is protected.
Yeah.
That's okay. So I'm over there singing this song, telling people, you know, that this is a friend of mine who had passed away. And so my wife's at this party back in California when I'm gone. And she tells this story to somebody, and then somebody tells my wife, Danny's not dead. And my wife said, Doug thinks he's dead. He said, no, Danny's alive and well in Hawaii. So when I got home, I called him up.
Yeah.
I said, Danny, this is Doug McLeod. He said, Doug McLeod, man, it's been a long time since I heard from you. I said, I thought you were dead. He said, that's some distressing news. So anyway, that song is on there. That's the only one that was written by me and somebody else.
Did you have to sit down and write for the album, or was all the music already there?
I've been really fortunate. It just seems to come to me. Mm. I mean, I'm already working on the next one. Part of this deal was they want to do another one. So
right.
I'm already working on that one.
And what kind of spacing between the two?
That I don't know yet.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Mm. I hope that 2 years is too long for me.
You know,
there's been 2 years. Well, it'll be three once the album's out.
That's right, yes.
And that's way too long for me. Mm. I got too many songs. I got too much to do. Mm.
In terms of live albums, is there anything planned for that?
No. No, not unless they want to do that. Mm. I mean, now I'm a company man now, you know, so.
That doesn't sound right somehow.
I know.
Yeah.
But it is right, but it doesn't sound right. I know.
I mean, the thing is, as people know, and as people have contacted me and have seen you working live, you are very much a man you have to see working live, and therefore the live album of Doug McLeod in the 2000 and in this decade, I think, is
That'd
kind of
nice,
important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you planted a seed, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah.
You've been known to do that in the past. I know.
The old seed here and there. Yes, many of them wither by the roadside, but some do succeed. So we've heard that number there, which you opened up with, which is, to me, kind of familiar, Doug McLeod. Is there anything on the album which I'm going to listen to and go, wow, I didn't expect that from Doug?
Hmm. Maybe this one. Do you know, there's a thing called sight. Do you know about that? George Harmonica Smith's wife, Christine Smith, mm-hmm. was born under a veil. Now, that means that she got sight, and I have means that she sees in the future.
I see.
And I have been a witness to her doing that. I mean, George and I were very, very close friends.
Mm-hmm. She'll be a good age now, is she?
Huh? Yeah, she's. I talked to her before I left, and she says that I made 77, Dub. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she has sight, and somewhere along the line, I'd heard this old saying, or somewhere, it must have been in Carolina when I was a little boy, or somewhere. It certainly wasn't from my Protestant parents. I know that. It's called A One-Eyed Owl, and they are supposed to have sight and see. So I wrote this song about that, from the influence of Teen and the One-Eyed Owl. And I'll play it for you now. I saw one out there. When I walked the woods one night, you know, it talked with me. And it shed a sight. Said, I believe you're gonna quit your woman. Cause she can't love you right. She gonna give her body so she can hide her mind. She got so much trouble. She don't want you to find. You know she hide in the mirror, but now she out of time. I felt something cold rise up from the ground. It's like an empty church. It didn't make no sound. Then I looked for the owl. And he could not be found. That night, you know, he'd talk with me, and he shed a sight. He said, I believe you're gonna quit your woman, she can't love you right. You're going to quit your woman now. Because she can't love you right. I saw One-Eyed Al when I walked the woods that night.
It's the Raven and the Blues. You're right. That is a wow. That's a very different Doug, isn't it, that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you channeling her spirit, are you?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Are you doing that as part of your live set?
Pardon me?
Are you doing that as part of your live set yet? Are you doing that on stage?
Yeah. Well, you know, I still never plan shows, you
know?
But, yeah, I do it.
So if the audience is right and it feels
the mood
right,
is right, yeah, it's there, and if I feel they understand what talking about that.
I mean, you have to have silence for that. You can't have people rowdy at the bar and things.
Oh, no. It has to be like concert setting.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, just to let people know that there was another side of this, you know, blues. There was another side, and I was fortunate enough to be around some of the people that were part of that.
We've met each other quite a few times over the years. Your playing is different on that as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, is that, again, the new Doug McLeod playing, or just something
I like to think, Dave, that what I'm doing is growing musically and hearing new things and... I wrote on Facebook, I was coming through the Alps, and a lot of people would never believe this, but I was listening to a mix of music. Like, I was listening to Amma Jamal. I like Amma Jamal. Now, someone would say, what? But I like Amma Jamal. I also like Dolly Parton when she sings bluegrass.
Mm.
She breaks my heart.
Yeah.
She can make me cry when I'm driving. I also like, of course, Kenny Burrell and Wes Montgomery. Yeah. I listen to them. And James Hunter, the guy from England.
Yeah, the fabulous voice.
Yeah. You know, so I think, I guess maybe I found another time of youth, because now my musical horizons are broadening.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the playing there is sparser than it used to be.
Yes.
It's almost like you found a different part of your soul in a way.
Well, maybe I did. I don't know. But I like that. And I like that. And I am starting to play that way a little bit more for the slower ones and stuff, you know. But, you know, coming from the old school like I did, you know, the old guy I learned from, he said, you got to have a groove. He said, you got to have a groove, you know. If you don't have a groove, they're not going to be dancing. And if they're not dancing, they're not drinking.
Yeah.
And if they're not drinking, the man's not paying. That's what he used to say. So I guess maybe I'm a little more confident, maybe, and not afraid to be so sparse. Huh?
Right. Okay. So after all these years in the business, you can say, I'll do it in my own way now.
Every once in a while. Yeah. Well, we'll certainly see where it leads.
Mm. So that obviously is another track on the album, and that's the one which, as you say, made me go wow, sort of thing. But our dub fans going to pick up the album and sort of find lots of things which they're kind of used to in a way, especially if they've been seeing you working live.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the new album will have like there's a few cuts with Denny Croy and Dave Kidda who joined me. A lot of solo pieces.
I was going to ask you about that because
that
number obviously was just you and your guitar on the album. Is it? Yeah, yeah.
And when on the album, I used a baritone national, so it had this baritone. El Trovador National, that was tuned down to C, so it was even deeper. And when you hear the album, you're going to think they put reverb on it.
Right.
I'm here to tell you right now, Dave, no reverb was added. That's just the reverb off the guitar. Mm. When you hear that thing, you'll go like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Special box.
You're coming to the end of a fairly long tour across Europe and through here, ending up here in the UK.
Yeah.
You've taken some great photographs along the way. It implies, I mean, the nice thing about Facebook, people who aren't involved with Facebook, I think, why would you be on Facebook? The nice thing about Facebook is you can follow people you like, what they're doing, and what they're seeing. And so in a kind of vicarious way, I followed your trip through Europe, some of the photographs you've taken and the things you've said, which would never, couldn't have happened all those years ago. And it's rather nice. And you've taken some great photographs and obviously had a good time along the way, have you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some of the things you see that, like I had this one thing. Can I say that the German sign on the...
Oh, yes, of course you can.
Okay, so I'm in this restaurant on the German Autobahn, and I look up at this sign, and it says Gute Fahrt. GUTEFHART. Now, that means good trip in German.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said on Facebook, that means something else entirely in American, you know?
And everywhere else in the world. BFBS Radio and all the servicemen who have been based in Germany over the years. It's one of the first things you giggle at when you get there and you go, good fart, you know? And yes, I think the Germans understand it too. It's like on the motorway exits, on the autobahns of Germany, it has Ausfahrt.
Ausfahrt, yeah, right.
Which means exit, basically.
Right.
One person, after I'd been in Germany after about a year or so, said, "This must be a very big town, this Ausfahrt. There's a sign to it everywhere."
I've heard about that. I've heard that story.
An old joke, yes.
Say that, yeah. Maybe I heard it from you. You and I were talking about it.
It's possible, yes. So, I mean, have you picked up some new venues this time and some new countries? Let me think.
Oh, man, it's so... Yes, some in Switzerland, Sweden. You know, the trouble with this is it all runs together.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you where I was a week ago. I couldn't tell you what the hotel room looked like. I couldn't tell you anything.
Yeah, you just get up in the morning and kick the satin habit of life.
It kind of is that way. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, it's one day at a time. This is the day I got to win. This is the day I got to do. And then tonight, after I hopefully win this day, I take a peek at tomorrow and say I got to win tomorrow. So that's how it works.
Now, you've got a friend listening in the States who comes from the northeast of England. You just come from the northeast of England. And so you've been trained into Geordie. So for Julie, what are you going to say to Julie?
All right, Judy. That's what I say to Julie. All right.
All right. How are the lads?
Big Joe Turner used to say that. He used to say that. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's all Reet, so I guess Joe was our Geordie.
Yeah,
huh?
He kept that part of it well hidden. Yes.
He did.
It's the Raven and the Blues. Doug McLeod is our guest. What are you going to do for us now, Doug?
Well, let me think. I don't know right now. Let me see. Maybe I will change this. I'll retune. Maybe I'll do another one. How about we do another one from the new record? Might as well do that, huh? I think this is going to be the title cut of it. It's called Brand New Eyes. When I woke up, ooh, this morning, I had me a big surprise. I was looking at the same old world, seeing it with brand new eyes. And now I wonder what took me so long, see what right instead of what wrong. You want to know why? Wasn't using my brand new eyes. So if you want, you need that peace of mind. I'd like it here. Few words I advise. Maybe all you need is get you some brand new eyes. I think worries is a waste of time, just a botheration up on your mind. That ain't no lie. I'm using my brand new eyes. Now in every life, gotta come some wrong, but you keep on stepping, just travel on. You wanna know why? Just get some brand new eyes. So if you want, you need that peace of mind. I'd like it to hear these words I advise. Maybe all you need, get you some brand new eyes. I see love everywhere I go. It always been there, never saw it before. I think you know why. Wasn't using no brand new eye. So I got a handle on simple truth. How you see life, how life see you. That ain't no lie, no, no. Just get you some brand new eye. So if you want, you need that peace of mind. I'd like it to hear the words I advise. Maybe all you need, get you some brand new eyes. Ooh, them brand new eyes. Mmm, them brand new eyes. Just need some brand new eye. Yeah, brand new eye.
Another track from the forthcoming album, which may be its title track, Brand New Eyes. Mm-hmm. That's a Doug McLeod we are kind of familiar with. Part of the attraction of you on stage is that, as you've said before, when you first started, you didn't have enough material, so you were talking between the tracks. And so a lot of people go along to a Doug McLeod concert purely for the bits in between as well. So have you got accompanying stories to go with all the new material?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Don't know why I asked that, I guess.
Well, of course, Dave. You know, it's that old thing that the old guy told me back in Virginia when I was in my 20s, early 20s. He said, never write or sing about what you don't know about. Mm. You know, and of course, the other thing he said, which now is more folks know about it, is never play a note you don't believe. So what he was preaching to me was be honest with your music. So, of course, every song got a story to it. And I like to tell the stories to the people and so they know about it.
Yes, of course. So a standard Doug McLeod set is about one-third conversation. Is it still or...?
Well, it all depends. I mean, yeah, one third. I mean, when I used to work with Juke Logan, he told stories too. So when we used to work together, maybe in an hour, you might get three songs, you know? But they were good songs.
So much of your influences have passed on now because they were sort of the more mature blues men. And as we're all getting older ourselves, are there some people you've been working with recently who are going to say, back in the old days when I worked for Doug McLeod, are the stories continuing, do you think?
You mean about the young guys
coming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see them. I see him. I remember what George Harmonica Smith told me one time. We were sitting down after a gig, and I'd seen all these young guys come up to him, and they were talking to him and asking him about things. Mm. And same with Pee Wee Creighton, too. I mean, all of them, Joe, all of them, all the ones I worked with, you know. But this particular story is with George. And he got done, and George just kind of hung his head. He had a can of Budweiser. And he looked over to me, and he said, "Dub." He said, "You know something?" I said, "What's that, George?" He said, "One of these days, you're going to be the old guy."
We've got a way to go yet. We've had an amazing year here on the house, but we've had lots of live guests who were young. Ollie Brown and Mitch Laddie, Joanne Shaw Taylor, Danny Wilde, all young kids in their early 20s or even teens. And the blues looks like it's in pretty good state here in the UK. What's it like back in the States?
Not as good, I think, but I have seen... I tell you what, this acoustic style blues I'm doing, what I'm encouraged about is when I see the young people coming, and I ask them, I think they're coming up to buy a CD, but what they're doing is coming up to shake my hand and make sure that they can download what they want, you know, which is fine with me, fine with me. But I ask them, I said, "Why are you here?" You know, first I'll ask them how old they are. And it'll be, let's say, 21 and 35, right? And I said, "Why are you here?" And they said, well, we're here for the lyrics, you know, and that it's real. And I said, "Well, look at that." I said, that's encouraging. That means that maybe we'll have something that'll happen like what happened back in the 60s.
Yeah.
That a whole bunch of young musicians will realize the importance of this music. And
I think it's gratifying in that, a couple of years ago, say 4 or 5 years ago, perhaps when we first met, if we went to see a blues guy or a blues band working, they were full of greybeards in the audience as well, lots of dark ponytails or no hair like mine or whatever. But now that is changing dramatically. And I was at a live gig a couple of weeks ago, and there are lots of people in their 20s and 30s there, so yeah, enjoying it. So,
isn't that good? Yeah. I think that's great to see. I really do. And more power to them. And they've also done a lot. The younger generation has done a lot to upset the record business, which is good.
It is.
Because the old school guys, you know, those guys and how they handled business was terrible. So these guys, you know, they don't need a record company.
No.
You know, they got this whole thing going on, and I think it's great. And I think sometimes old people forget they were once young.
So easy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get back to the States in about a week or 10 days' time, is that then relaxing for a little while, or you just start something else?
I'm going to cook. First thing I'm going to do is cook. I'm going to go down to the grocery store. I'm going to get all my stuff, and I'm going to cook for my family. I'm going to do that. And then what I'm going to do, the next project that's up in my mind, Dave, is I am going to record all my stories.
Ah.
You know, the ones I used to write for Blues Review.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to record them so you can hear the voice in inflections and how the words were said. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many people tell me, they say, "Douglas, you've got to do this. You've got to record these stories because that's the only way that's going to stay alive, you know?" So they finally prodded me enough that when I get back, I'm going to call Glenn down at Pacifica and see if we can't arrange some time.
Sit down and talk, yes.
Yeah, and I'll do my stories. Mm.
I know about a year or so ago, after you'd been here and done the house concert, I played one of the shows. I played one of the numbers, but had an email back from somebody saying, "You missed the best bit. You didn't do all the conversation beforehand."
So, yeah. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change that. So yeah. I think I'll do that. And the other thing I'm working on is a cookbook. I am. My wife has told me, you know, you should do this because I do have Acadian blood in me. Mm-hmm. And I cook like that. And I have a sister-in-law down in San Diego. And what's going to happen is I don't have recipes per se. Mm-hmm. I sort of just go by how I feel. Well,
that's the way a chef should do. You go into the kitchen. I guess you should. I think watching a good chef work, they it's a handful of this and a scoop of that.
Well, that's how I do it. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of that, and then I taste it, you know, and see if it's good. Mm-hmm. And so my wife, Patty, has been writing down what she perceives the measurements to be, you know.
A big dug handful of this and a small.
But she's trying to like quarter teaspoon and all this kind of thing, you know. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a recipe. I've already sent 3 or 4 to my sister-in-law.
Cuisine, what style of cuisine are you? Are you Pacific Rim or Louisiana?
More like a Louisiana guy. Down-home.
Hot and spicy.
Hot, spicy, but also make, also got the different things. I got a thing I call smashed chicken, which is, I really love this one. And I know my family loves it, and I know I'll be cooking it. What I do is I pound a chicken breast flat, you know, and then olive oil, garlic. And then I'm going to saute it that in with white wine, lemon, and then I put fresh basil on it with the Cajun seasoning. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I serve that with what I call lemon potatoes, which is baked potatoes with olive oil, lemon, and thyme on them. I chop them up, you know, and do that, and then the salad and a nice glass of wine, and you're unnecessary for an evening.
That sounds fun. We're getting close to the end of our time today. The album, you say, is going to be due when, roughly?
March. If everything goes right. I mean, the artwork is being worked on now, all that stuff, and it's distributed in America by Allegro, and they have to have that stuff in the next week or two. And so they're back there working on it. And once that is set up, then they get to there's folks here in the UK and all over the world that they will send that stuff out.
Yeah.
Start to promote.
And it'll be available, presumably, at all the usual iTunes and all the...
Oh, absolutely. And they'll also be in select stores.
Yeah.
You know, the usual.
Record shops, you mean? Do they still have
them?
Yeah, I guess they do, yes. It seems so quaint and old-fashioned in a way. But if people want to follow what you're doing, of course, there's the Doug McLeod website, which is...
www.doug-mcleod, and you spell McLeod, MACLEOD.com. Facebook,
yes.
MySpace,
Twitter.
You don't tweet yet, do you? I don't tweet yet. No.
That's to come.
Yeah, my son's on me about that, so I'm gonna have to tweet.
So, what are you gonna finish with?
I feel like doing that song by Danny that Danny and I wrote. We talked about that, but we didn't do Danny.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, we moved it to something else. So yes, let's close with that.
It's another one of the sparse ones.
Is Danny still playing, or is he retired in Hawaii?
Well, he's writing. He also does a radio show there. And I forgot to tell you, there is a surprise on this record that I'm not going to play right now. I'm not going to play. But the surprise is, it's an instrumental.
Oh, right.
Instrumental called Somewhere South of Somewhere.
Okay.
That we have on there. Some ragtime.
Oh, I was going to say, it's titled what makes it sound like a Jimmy Buffett track, but... Are you still doing radio work, Doug? Are you still emceeing and doing radio stuff?
No, I'm emceeing. Mm-hmm. I emcee the annual Battle of the Blues Harps every Thanksgiving Eve back in Southern California. Do that. And I've been too busy doing this. I still enjoy this, you know. I do enough talking during my shows to get, get the radio there.
Yeah.
You know what? It's tough with the weather's like this on this old guitar.
Yeah, it's we've had some pretty fine weather over the last 3 or 4 days. And at one stage last weekend, I was in shorts and a t-shirt. It was that good. In fact, through the week, but 3 or 4 days ago, I was in shorts and a t-shirt. It was like 18, 19 degrees Celsius, which is like late 60s, almost early 70s Fahrenheit. But today, when we've had after Bonfire Weekend, it's now almost horizontal rain. It's like almost freezing. It's not nice. Not good for guitars either.
No, yeah. Obviously. So what I'm going to do here is just pick one string, and that's what I'm tuning to, no matter where it is. All right, I think we live with this. This song is called Midnight in Memphis, the song that Danny Jester and I wrote. Lying in the darkness of this cheap old tired hotel, the cognac keep me warm. Inside I feel like hell. Midnight in Memphis, and my blues won't go away. It's midnight in Memphis, I got 100 hours today. Stand at my window, I watched you walk away. Your game was a mean one, I was a fool to play. Midnight in Memphis, and my blues all go away. It's midnight in Memphis, and I got 100 eyes today. They say time heals all wounds, and every tear shall dry. I don't think that's true for me, but maybe when I die, midnight in Memphis, and my blues won't go away. It's midnight in Memphis, I got 100 hours today. Got 100 hours today.
Last 45 minutes, you've been listening to the words and the music of Doug McLeod. Doug, thanks so much for being our guest on The Raven and the Blues.
Sincerely, my pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me.